August 22nd of 2010, a good family friend's son was scheduled to be baptized. They had it all planned out. They sent out invitations, they scheduled the luncheon for afterwards. They had their three-year-old meet with the pastor to sit down and explain what would happen that day that he would be baptized. Where then he got just a little concerned about being appetized. But if you can recall, this was the weekend that Hurricane Irene hit the Northeast. A massive storm coming up the coast, which caused much anxiety to my friend's plans to have their son baptized. Concerned about the weather and extended family getting to the church safely or getting home afterwards, with the flooding and downed trees and everything that potentially comes with large hurricanes. The heavens possibly being torn open with rain pouring down in buckets. But for me, I couldn't help but think, what better day to be baptized, right? Stand in the doorway of the church with the rain pouring down, and you could hold the kid in your arms. And each time as you baptize, you say, in the name of the Father, and you hold him out into the rain. And you bring him back in, and you say, in the name of the Son. And you do the same in the name of the Holy Spirit. No need for that silly baptismal font. You just have the natural waters of outside pour down upon him. Us Presbyterians are known for our sprinklings over dunkings anyway, so what better way to allow nature to do the sprinkling? This water blessed by God, sent from the heavens. Obviously, for safety reasons, they had already planned to cancel and reschedule the baptism, but it would have made for a great story to tell later in life, wouldn't it? Especially when we're asked, do you remember your baptism? For this is a question that we are, or at least should be asked from time to time in the church. Time to time, we have reaffirmation of baptismal services. Sometimes these are during Pentecost or Trinity Sunday. Some churches would use today as a good day, the Baptism of the Lord Sunday. Other times it's done as a healing event or following some sort of special event during various services, like perhaps the one I was at a few months ago at Stony Point, where we were asked to remember our baptism while water was thrown at us by the preacher dipping his hand in the bowl and throwing it as far as he could. This water thrown with grace as we're told to remember our baptism. Remember baptism. From time to time, it's good to remember our baptisms. Now, many, if not most, Presbyterians don't really remember their own baptism. So many of us were so very young when we were baptized, a decision that we didn't necessarily make, but that our parents or guardians made for us in the faith. But we still have stories to tell, even if we don't personally remember it, aren't able to remember our baptisms. Stories that we should know and tell to others, especially if they don't have a story of their own yet to tell. I was baptized in October, close enough to my cousin's 10th birthday that afterwards we went to a birthday party for her at my aunt's house. And who knew that 24 years later, my cousin's son would be getting baptized that same weekend? Or that weekend would be the first time I met the congregation I would soon do my field education training at just 2 years later when I started seminary? And that during my time serving this field ed congregation, I would be assisting in the baptism of her daughter. A story I will one day tell both of them when they're old enough to understand. For always, 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 in our baptism stories, there are connections to the community around us. It is what a part of baptism is. We believe that through baptism, we are welcomed in the community of faith, the family of God, fully and gracefully. Our baptisms aren't private, but public acts of worship that take place in community. The congregation is even asked questions. They're asked, will you help this new child or this newly baptized along their faith journey, encouraging and uplifting them along the way? And in this, a covenant is made. Covenant is made in this act of dying and rising with Christ, for in baptism we believe that we have died to our old life. Our old sinful ways are path away from God, and here we rise with Christ. As Paul writes to the Roman church, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might have new life. This baptism signals new life, a sign and a seal of new life that won't be fulfilled right away, but when we are fully come to share resurrection life with Jesus. Until that time, we are gifted with the Spirit. John tells the crowds that he baptizes with the water, but the one to come will baptize with the Spirit. We believe with the act of baptism brings with it the presence of the Holy Spirit among us and within us. And of course, as with John's call to baptism, we believe there's a cleansing, forgiveness of sins, repentance. The person being baptized or the parents of the child are asked if they turn away from sin and renounce evil and its power in the world. They're asked if they turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as Lord and Savior, willing to be a faithful disciple, obeying his word and sharing his love. Again, connecting us to the community, those faithful disciples, the love of God poured out for all. We see some of these very same things within this community of believers, dreamers, and reformers out in the middle of nowhere, in the wilderness along the Jordan, getting baptized by this man calling for repentance. And here, Jesus is baptized with them. Not because he needed any forgiveness of sins, needed to repent, but perhaps to be part of the community. Perhaps to open this community up to the larger grace of God. For when Jesus is baptized, we're told the heavens are torn apart. The Spirit descends like a dove, and God makes a proclamation. This is my Son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. For Mark, this is the start of the inbreaking kingdom, the start of the transformation of the world with the heavens being torn open, of grace being poured out into this world. And while it's hard to tell if the crowds even saw this happening or if they were completely oblivious, only Jesus able to see it, Mark gives no indication. He doesn't say the crowd saw it or that they were left in amazement, bewilderness. There's no response mentioned. Yet even if it was just Jesus, it was obviously a beautiful story to tell, and one that must have gotten out somehow to someone, for we have it here written for us today, told to us by Mark, a story that someone must have told at some point. The story that is perhaps to remind us of the grace poured out for the world. That through Jesus we can all be called God's beloved. Through baptism we are all children of God, adopted into the family of God, made clean, holy, set apart, claimed not just by the waters, but by God's incredible love. Now, not to say that those that aren't baptized are not God's beloved, for God loves all, desires all, and calls all to turn their hearts away from the brokenness and evil of this world and to this one who can truly provide new life, wonderful love, merciful grace. Perhaps, though, these individuals either just haven't made that public step yet of baptism, or they haven't yet come to realize that they are indeed beloved by God. The truth is, whether or not we've been baptized, all of us sitting here today are beloved by God. And we have a story to share, a story of how we came to be sitting here in church this morning, worshiping God today. A story that might not be as glorious or glamorous as the one we read or heard today of Jesus' baptisms with the heavens being torn open and a dove descending. Or as one scholar pointed out, maybe a dove dive bombing Jesus. A voice calling him son, beloved, in whom I am well pleased. We all have a story to share of our own, of God's love for us and care for us. A story we should remember always and share it with those around us, our family, our friends, our community, with the world. Who knows who might be changed by the hearing of your words, your story, your faith journey of being forgiven, freed, welcomed not just into a community of faithful, but into new life, into God's family. Who knows if for that one person the heavens would open with the dive bombing of a bird or a bee or a flying squirrel, and they might hear the voice of God calling them, beloved. A word, an emotion, a feeling so many are longing for today. So many may never hear. Beloved. The teenagers bullied at school. Beloved. The child pushed from foster home to foster home. Beloved. The widow who sits shut in from society or the elderly alone in the nursing home. Beloved. The homeless man panhandling on the street, the transgender woman, the recently divorced, the grieving, the one struggling with depression and suicide, beloved. The one questioning, is it all real? Where is God now? Beloved. The alcoholics, the drug addicts, those struggling with things that seem to be beyond their control. The Me Toos of the world, those fraught with shame, beloved. The immigrants, the disabled, the men, women, and children trafficked among our world. Those who are questioned where they live or come from as Jesus was, does anything good come from Nazareth, from Africa, from South America? Beloved. Those who are on the margins, the poor, oppressed, those fighting for justice, naming equalities due to gender, race, age, religion, and those affected by all of these injustices, beloved. The college students, the stay-at-home parents, the newly retired, beloved. The story of Jesus' baptism reminds us just how much we are all beloved by God. Even if we don't always feel it. For this story points us to the one who has come with such great love for the world that in living and dying and rising, we can all truly come to see, know, and believe this great love. Where through this simple act, Jesus opens up the doors for community, and God tears open the heavens to break into the world. This world in which many thought God could be contained, either in the heavens or at least behind the temple curtain. But this one who loves us so much breaks into our world from the start, calls this one beloved, makes way for all to be called beloved. Beloved children of God, remember your baptism. Remember the dive-bombing birds or the hurricane waters. Remember the carefully picked-out outfits and the bursts of screams when the water hit your face or your child's face. Remember the stories you've heard of how you laughed or tried to play in the water, perhaps how you were serious, how you had to kneel because the minister couldn't reach your head to baptize you with the water. Or perhaps how you were dunked and wondered if they would ever let you up for air. Or the mysteriously fresh, renewed feeling you felt coming up from the water. Remember the parts that make you laugh, that make you cry, that make you wonder in amazement. remember that you are a beloved child of God. Amen.